God's amazing grace is yours in Jesus, your Savior. Amen. God's word for our meditation today is recorded in Matthew chapter 9, previously read. In the name of Jesus, who laid down his life to make us his friends, dear fellow redeemed. Do you remember Stephen Avery, the man featured in the documentary Making a Murderer? Tell me, how would you feel if you found out last night that he had been released from prison, and today he comes strolling down the aisle and plops down in the pew next to you? Would you say, welcome? Or would you kind of, what are you doing here? If we're honest, I know which way I'd be leaning. But now let's flip the tables. Imagine that you are Stephen Avery. How would you feel coming to worship at Mount Olive? Would you feel like you fit here? Would you feel welcome? Would you hear something that would make you want to come back again? Let me tell you that as far as I know, Stephen Avery was not released from prison last night, so this is all irrelevant. Or is it? Could that hypothetical scenario get us to think a little bit about how we would treat somebody who has a reputation that leaves a bit to be desired? What about that ex-con? How would we feel about the unwed mother? The drug addict? The person who hasn't stepped foot in a church? How would we treat that person? Or again, flip the tables. What if that person is you? What if you have a reputation? What if there's some black marks on your record? Would you feel welcome here? And more importantly, how would God feel about you? Would God accept you in light of your past? You realize those are not just hypothetical questions. Those are things that we all need to wrestle with, and we do on a regular basis. They all center around two questions. How am I supposed to feel about somebody who's lived a sinful life? And secondly, what if that somebody is me? Today, God in His Word answers both questions for us. Today we turn to Matthew chapter 9 on this festival of friendship, and we discover a truly amazing truth. It's this fact that Jesus is the friend of sinners. That truth represents first hope for those who know they're sinners, but secondly, a warning for those who think they aren't. First, hope for those who know they're sinners. Our text records for us the account of Matthew being called to be a disciple of Jesus. Matthew himself records, this is the writer of this gospel, records his own call to discipleship when he writes, as Jesus went on from there, from Jesus' hometown of Nazareth, Jesus saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. A couple things to note there. First of all, note that Matthew was a tax collector. Now, that isn't quite the equivalent of an IRS agent today. In those days, tax collectors were despised by the people for two reasons. First, because they were working for the enemy. They were working for the Roman government. And secondly, because they were infamous for being greedy and dishonest. The tax collector's pay was created by overcharging people. It was almost legalized extortion. That's why the Jews hated them. That's why they banished them from the synagogue and why they called them and lumped them together with all the other sinners. Isn't it amazing that this is the kind of man that Jesus calls to be one of his disciples? Jesus goes to him and says, "Follow me," and Matthew leaves everything behind and follows him. How do you explain that? I mean, did Jesus kind of put some spell on him? "You will follow me." No. A more plausible answer is Matthew had simply been watching and listening to Jesus as he conducted his ministry around Capernaum, where Matthew had his toll booth. As he watched and listened, that those words and actions, that gospel in action, had an impact on Matthew's heart. And let's not discount that even that simple invitation, that out of all the people that Jesus could have picked, he comes to Matthew and says, "You, Matthew, I want you to follow me." Well, you talk about grace in action. Jesus shows mercy to this man who has done nothing to deserve it. And that mercy changes Matthew's heart and ultimately his occupation too. And notice, once Matthew has been touched by Jesus' forgiving love, he can't wait to share that with his old buddies. He describes the scene. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. You got to think Matthew had a role in who was coming to this party, right? You can just imagine him saying, "Yeah, you got to meet Jesus. This rabbi didn't condemn me for what I did for a living. Instead, he forgave me," right? He shares that message with them. Isn't it sad that the very quality that those sinners found so attractive in Jesus, his love and his mercy, is exactly the same quality that causes all the religious leaders to be offended by Jesus? Matthew tells us they're the reaction of the religious elite. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" You see what's happening here? The religious leaders are assuming that Jesus is condoning the behavior of these sinners. He's joining in with them. You know, it's kind of birds of a feather flock together. While the Pharisees have the exact opposite attitude. "We ain't touching those sinners. And we don't want to be contaminated by them. We're the good people. They're the bad people. If Jesus really were the man of God, he certainly wouldn't hang out with sinners." Jesus responds to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." You understand what he means? By their profession, doctors have to spend time with sick people. Those are the people that need a doctor. Jesus is saying, if I'm a doctor, if I'm here to care for spiritually sick people, I have to spend time with them. They're the ones who need me. Or as he puts it, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." You realize what a comfort those words are? That Jesus has not come for perfect people. He's come for sinners. Isn't that what allows us to come clean with God? Rather than trying to hide our sins, cover them up, explain them away, we can be honest with God and say, God, I blew it. Man, I ridiculed my child. I disrespected my parent. I cheated my employer by not putting in a whole day's work. I was not kind to my spouse. And that was just this week. My whole life is filled with all these failures. But I believe that you're willing to take all of them. You took them all the way to the cross, and you paid for them there. By taking my rap, you proved to me that you're my best friend. Yes, Jesus is the friend of sinners. That gives hope to those who know they're sinners, but it also offers a warning to those who think they aren't. You realize that Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, right? That group of people who thought that by their outward behavior, by keeping all of their man-made rules, they were right with God. They were holy. They were clean. They were healthy. Jesus, in fact, hypothetically agrees. He says, well, that's true. If you truly are healthy, you don't need a doctor. You don't need a savior. But Jesus also realized that their self-diagnosis was wrong. They were not healthy. And they showed it by the attitude they took toward other sinners. That's why he says to them, go and learn what this means. And then he quotes God in the prophet Hosea, who said, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. In other words, Jesus is convicting them of not showing mercy to these fellow sinners. Because they thought they were better than everybody else. They figured they didn't have time for anybody who didn't live up to their standards. The question is, do Jesus' words apply to us? You realize how easy it is to find ourselves looking down our nose at somebody that we figure is a bigger sinner than we are. Or looking down our nose at those that we think are judging us. Right? Where we look at others and say, oh, did you hear what he did? Do you realize he got arrested for that? What she said, the attitude that she showed. And did you see what they wore to church? And how come they can't make their kids behave? What are they doing here? If we're honest, we've all done this. We've all found somebody who hasn't lived up to our standards, and in our minds, we've condemn them. We've done exactly what the Pharisees did. We looked at their sins rather than ours. What did Jesus say? Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? In other words, concentrate on what you've done wrong, not what somebody else has done wrong. But more important than seeing our sins is seeing that our sins have been paid for. By Jesus' blood and righteousness, we're washed clean. God has taken our sins and separated us from them. You realize that's why we're here. That's what allows us to come before God, a holy and just God who sees and knows all. We are here not because we're such good people. We're here because we know we're not. We're here because we spent the whole week creating a bunch of garbage, and there's only one person who will take that garbage off our hands, and it's Jesus. And in so doing, he proves that he's our friend. The hymn writer said, what? Jesus, sinners, does receive. You've maybe heard me say that I've always imagined that there's this kind of invisible banner over the door of our church. And the banner reads, not, good people belong here. No, the banner reads, sinners, welcome here. Sinners, welcome here. Remember that sign the next time you think you don't fit at Mount Olive. The next time you're weighed down by what you did or what you said. The next time you feel dirty. The next time you are carrying a burden. Sinners. Sinners welcome here. And then when you look at somebody else and you're frustrated by their sin, remember the banner. Sinners are welcome here. Now, don't misunderstand me. That doesn't mean that Jesus condones sin. He doesn't, and neither do we. What it means is, when people bring their sins to Jesus, he always forgives. How does St. John put it? If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. My friends, that's good news. That love of Jesus, that forgiveness, is what we can't wait to share with our friends and our family members so that they can find exactly what we and what Matthew, the tax collector, found. And that's the fact that Jesus is the friend of sinners. To God be the glory. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.